I welcome you back to our study in the books of Moses. In particular, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 8, verse 21 as we begin today. We are in the middle of the ordination ceremony, the dedication ceremony, first for the tabernacle, and then for the priests, and then for the Levites, as they start their regular worship in the tabernacle on this first day of the first Jewish month in the second year of the Exodus. Basically, we're talking about near the anniversary of their departure from Egypt. They are at Mount Sinai, and they are following the directives of God through Moses in getting the tent of worship, God's royal tent that's at the middle of the encampment, properly established. Now, we already talked about the priests being dressed for the very first time in their special robes, in particular, Aaron the high priest, and being anointed with the holy olive oil, being anointed with the blood of the sacrifice, and offering their gifts to God as part of this process so that they could spend 7 days' time in the tabernacle showing that they were willing to take on this responsibility. The leaders of the 12 tribes are in the process of bringing different gifts into this long 7 day process of initializing the tabernacle and the priesthood. Only the tribe of Judah has offered their offering on this particular first day. And we were looking now at how Aaron, the recently ordained high priest, is now setting aside the Levites who will support the priesthood. They are, in a very real fashion, the deacons of the Old Testament in relationship to the shepherds, the elders of the Old Testament, which would be the priests in a spiritual sense. So let's talk more about the dedication of these Levites. Numbers chapter 8, verse 21 says, "The Levites purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as a wave offering before He who is, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them." So they're going through a similar process. There's a sin offering on their behalf, and they are being dedicated to service on behalf of the Israeli people. Instead of every family giving up their firstborn son into Levitical and priestly service, they are paying and supporting the entire Levitical tribe, carrying on that responsibility. Verse 22, "After that, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as He who is had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. And He who is spoke to Moses, saying, 'This applies to the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall come to do duty in the service of the tent of meeting.'" So the Levites will enter full-blown service when they reach the age of 25. Now, there's probably training that happens previous to that, but 25 is when they can officially act as an individual Levite. Then verse number 25, "And from the age of 50 years, they shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more." Now again, that's probably talking about the active hands-on work. So between the age of 25 and 50, that's the active working guys. There may be people over 50 who have served many years with distinction, providing training and advice and oversight to the ones that are actually doing the hands-on service, And we may have people younger than 25 learning the ropes, being kind of interns. But 25 to 50 is the age range for active hands-on Levitical work. Verse 26, they minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service. Now that's a specific thing for some of the older ones apparently, that they could be involved in the security detail. Now you might ask, why do they need security detail for the tabernacle? Well, this is a worship site that is going to be visited on a regular basis by many tens of thousands of people on a daily basis. And that's going to need kind of crowd control. Even if people are trying to be polite and kind to one another, you still have to have some sort of order. And these security guys are going to be in charge of that. So verse 26 finishes, thus shall you do to the Levites in assigning their duties. Let's now jump over to Numbers chapter 3. And remember, we're having to do a little bit of this to pull together some of the chronological information. And we find there something else that God said to Moses regarding the Levites. So Numbers 3, verse 5, he who is spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him. So the Levitical tribe supports the priests that have come out of the tribe of Levi. They shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting as they minister at the tabernacle. They shall guard all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep guard over the people of Israel as they minister at the tabernacle. And so again, we've got this idea of guardianship. Some of it may be fairly mundane, basically keeping people in the proper places. Regular Israelis are not allowed to come up close to the shrine building. They meet with the priests and the Levites at the entrance to the compound of the tabernacle. So some of the guardian work of the Levites is going to be keep the people where they belong. And they will also be providing security for the property of the tabernacle. Make sure it is where it belongs and that only those people that are supposed to be working with that equipment gets near it. And also the high priest, make sure that he can get his job done without anybody impeding his work. By the time we get to the New Testament temple, you've got a huge security patrol in the temple at Jerusalem. And the captain, the commander of that security detail, is a very powerful person. And he makes sure that everyone who comes into the complex, and we're talking by that time a couple of hundred thousand people every day rotating in and out of the temple complex, he makes sure that they are safe and secure and behave themselves. Okay, so now back to where we're at in Numbers chapter 3, verse 10. You shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall guard their priesthood. And if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. So part of the security, too, is to make sure no one crosses any lines in an unauthorized manner. And if you've got non-worshippers, we're going to refer to these guys as the Gentiles. They are not to be anywhere in the compound of the tabernacle. And if they are there without some sort of good explanation, they are going to end up being executed by the Levites. In fact, going to the New Testament period again, we know from historical books that there was a stone fence that went all around the courtyard that was immediately around the shrine building of the temple that Herod had renovated. And that on this stone fence, where there were openings in it, there was prominently displayed a warning. Apparently it was in the Hebrew Aramaic language that a lot of the local Jews of Jerusalem could speak and read, but also in Greek, which pretty much everyone in the Roman Empire could speak, and probably most could read basic Greek. And so this sign, which we found examples of it archaeologically, said something like this: any Gentile found beyond this point will be responsible for their own death. And the Roman authorities had given the Israelis permission to put that sign up and to carry out, without having to come to them, an immediate execution of any Gentile inside the boundaries. So here is kind of the beginning of that that lethal force authorized warning. Military bases, particularly those that had weapons that were located, and I'm talking about serious weapons located on them, have similar warnings that anyone found beyond this point that can be effectively shot dead because it is unauthorized trespassing. And lethal force is authorized. I think that's the verbiage that you can see on some of those signs. So here we have another one of the responsibilities of the Levitical security detail is to enforce that that precaution. Verse 11, he who is spoke to Moses saying, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel. Instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel, the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn of Israel, both of man and beast. They shall be mine. I am he who is. And so this is, again, a reminder. We'd seen this in another passage, that the firstborn could have been put into Levitical and priestly service because of what happened during the Passover. But God chooses instead to substitute the Levitical tribe into those areas of responsibility and accountability. All right, so that takes us through everything that happened on the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus. And now we can go to Numbers chapter 7 and pick up at verse number 18, where the second day is referenced, and it is noted because of the next tribal gift. Because remember, the 12 tribes are all giving very specific gifts to be used in this dedication ceremony, as well as afterward in the temple services. So Judah gave theirs on the first day. Verse number 18 of number 7 says, on the second day, Nethanel, the son of Zuar, the chief of Issachar, made an offering. So this is the name of the man who is in leadership of the entire Issachar tribe. And this is his official part of the dedication ceremony, which goes over at least 12 days. The tabernacle and the priesthood is ordained over a seven-day period, but there's 12 days involved in the tribal dedication. And he offered the exact same offering that we saw the Judah tribe do on the first day. And I'm going to go back over it because I remembered suddenly that I hadn't given you kind of a modern-day sense of how much some of these things weighed. I just went straight with the shekels. So he offered for his offering one silver plate whose weight was 130 shekels. So that's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3 pounds. One silver basin of 70 shekels. So think roughly pound and a half, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. So these plates, these containers, are brought full of an agricultural sacrifice. It's fine flour mixed with oil that is going to be offered during these days of dedication. And then the containers automatically go into the use within the tabernacle for other things, probably similar agricultural sacrifices on a day-by-day basis. Verse 20, one golden dish of 10 shekels. Now that makes it only about 4 ounces. So it's a smaller bowl, smaller dish, probably fairly thin, and it's full of incense. And then one bull from the herd, one ram, one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. So exact same things are donated by the head of the Issachar tribe on day number 2 that were offered by the head of the Judah tribe on day number 1. And then we just see that process repeated over and over again. In verse 24, on the third day, Eliab, the son of Helon, the chief of the people of Zebulun, and he gives the exact same sacrificial gift. Verse 30, on the fourth day, Elizur, the son of Shadur, the chief of the people of Reuben, and he gives again the exact same things. Verse 36, on the fifth day, Shelumiel, the son of Zerushaddai, the chief of the people of Simeon. And then we scroll back down, and on day 6, Elisaph, the son of Duel, the chief of the people of Gad. And then we arrive at day number 7 in verse number 48, which would be the final day of the official ordination of the priests. And so we're going to move and talk about things that happened on the next day after that. So the 7th day, it was Elishama, the son of Amenahud, the chief of the people of Ephraim. And then we arrive at day number 8. And the gifts that day, found in verse 54, on the 8th day, Gamaliel, the son of Padazur, the chief of the people of Manasseh. And the 8th day is the climax day, the finish day, for the dedication of the temple and the priesthood, so that it can now be put fully into use. And so we're going to see some things happen on this day that are highly significant. This is the reason, by the way, that 8 days are always associated with the dedication of the tabernacle or the temple. And that is the reason why in the stories of the Maccabees, when Judas Maccabee rededicated the temple that had been desecrated by the Greeks, it took him 8 days to get the job done. It didn't have anything to do with olive oil burning miraculously for 8 days. That is a story that pops up well after the first century, when Josephus is writing about the Maccabee stories, and he doesn't say anything about that being the reason it was 8 days long. That is the celebration of Hanukkah. He even says he didn't really know exactly why the rededication ceremony was sometimes referred to as the Festival of Lights. He was guessing it was because light came back to Israel at that time through the rededication of the temple. So my point is, the rabbinical tradition that popped up probably in the 2nd or 3rd century AD is not the reason why Hanukkah is 8 days long. Hanukkah is 8 days long because that is the official time it takes to dedicate the temple to service, as we see in the text here in front of us. All right, so let's go to Leviticus chapter number 9 now. Let me get there myself because I've got a couple of different Bibles open on my laptop. So Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1. On the 8th day, so the 8th day of the first month of the 2nd year of the Exodus, the 8th day of the dedication process, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. So he gathers up Aaron and his sons, who are also going to become priests, and he gathers together the leaders of Israel, the 12 men probably, who are giving the gifts day by day. Possibly he takes all 70 of the leaders that we've seen before. Verse 2, he said to Aaron, take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old, without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before he who is, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today he who is will appear to you. So today is different than the previous 7 days. They have been offering sacrifices, by the way. They have been using fire from a human source. That is, they had ignited it, and they are using it to burn up the sacrifices for the first 7 days of service. But today, something brand new is going to happen. And Moses is supposed to be preparing the people for this brand new thing, because it is the day when the dedication comes to the climax. Verse 5, they brought what Moses commanded in front of the temple of meeting, or the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before he who is. Moses said, this is the thing that he who is commanded you to do, that the glory of he who is may appear to you. And then Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as he who is has commanded. And so Aaron is acting as high priest. He offers things on his own behalf first, then he offers things on behalf of the people. So Aaron drew near the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat in the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar as he who is had commanded Moses. So he's going through this process that he's done before, except this day is going to be different in how things get burned. Verse number 11, the flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. That's been the procedure before for this. And then he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed in the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. He's following all the procedures before, smearing some of the blood on the horns, putting some of it against the side of the altar, pouring out some of it. All of it is things he's done before. They handed the burnt offering to him piece by piece and the head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering in the altar. And he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering that was for the people and killed it. and offered it in the sin offering like the first one. He presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the rule. And he presented the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burned it on the altar beside the burnt offering of the morning. Then he killed the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings for the people, and Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. But the fat pieces of the ox and the ram, the fat tail and that which covers the entrails and the kidney and the long lobe of the liver, they put the fat pieces on the breasts, and he burned the pieces on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh, Aaron waved for a wave offering before he who is, as Moses commanded. So he is saving back some of the pieces for the fellowship meal that he and his sons will eat, as well as Moses. And then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from the offering, the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Now, what did this blessing sound like? Verse 23 says, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people. Numbers 6:22, I think, is where we see that blessing. So let's go to there. Let me get all the way to 6:22. That would help. He who is spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, he who is bless you and keep you. He who is make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And he who is lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So that's the official blessing that Moses and Aaron are supposed to put upon the people. And it is at that point, when we come back tomorrow, that God's glory appears and something special happens.